Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Advanced Enzyme Technologies Limited Q4 FY25 earnings con call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Ronak Saraf. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Advanced Enzyme Technologies Q4 and FY25 earnings conference call. We sincerely hope that you all have gone through our financials and the press release and the PPT, which has been posted in the investor relations section of our website as well as on stock exchanges. Today, we have with us Mr. Mukund Kabra, Whole-time Director, and Mr. Beni Rauka, Group CFO. Today, the management will discuss the performance and business highlights, update on strategies for the coming year, and respond to any questions that you may have. As is usual, for the ease of discussion, we will look at the consolidated financials. Before we proceed, I would like to draw your attention to the forward-looking statement contained in our documents. During our call, we may make forward-looking statements regarding our expectations and predictions about the future. Because these statements are based on current assumptions and factors that may involve risk and uncertainty, our actual performance and results may differ materially from our forward-looking statements. So now, without any further ado, we shall commence this call. Over to you, Mukund, sir.
Thank you, Ronak. Good evening, everyone. I really appreciate you all for taking out your valuable time, and I extend a heartiest welcome to everyone joining us today on the conference call for the quarter and year ended 31st March 2025. Let me start with a quick brief on the global economic scenario. The global economy is experiencing moderate growth amid persistent challenges. The volatile growth is attributed to factors such as high debt levels, weak investment, and ongoing geopolitical tensions, including trade disputes involving major economies like the U.S., China, and the European Union. Now, a brief on the key developments during the year. We are pleased to share a summary of significant milestones achieved over the past year, reflecting our continued focus on innovation, sustainability, and global regulatory compliance. The company has filed a food enzyme dossier to the European Food Safety Authority for approval. The enzyme is intended for application in baking and the production of refined edible fats and oils. In the United States, two GRAS dossiers have been filed with the U.S. FDA supporting the use of food processing enzymes in baking, brewing, starch processing, and oligosaccharide production. Furthermore, the company has filed three patent applications related to innovative sugar management technologies. The company has established a separate independent laboratory named Staria Labs under its U.S. subsidiary for testing enzyme and probiotic products. The company has successfully completed the installation and commissioning of an additional 350 kW solar power plant, raising its total clean energy capacity to 510 kW. This marks a significant step forward in the company's sustainability and strategy. Going ahead, the company remains committed to expanding its reliance on renewable energy sources in the coming years. Quarterly performance. Now, as far as the quarterly performance is concerned, we achieved a top line of ₹1,672 million, growth of 6% on year-on-year basis, and degrowth of 1% on a sequential basis in quarter four. Our EBITDA stood at ₹456 million. EBITDA margin stood at 27% and PAT margin stood at 16% during the quarter four. Lower EBITDA margin is due to change in product mix and true-up of the inventory valuations at the year-end. During financial year 25, the total revenue grew by 2% to ₹6,369 million. EBITDA at ₹1,944 million is 31% of sales. Net profit stood at 1340 million. Talking about the segment-wise performance, human nutrition quarterly, the human nutrition segment contributed 62% in revenue pie. It grew by 1% on year-on-year basis and on sequential basis. Annually, on full-year basis, revenue is down by rupees 132 million, about 3%, mainly due to lower revenue from domestic markets, while USA and other international markets witnessed growth. HN constituted about 64% of the revenue in financial year 25. Animal nutrition. Our animal nutrition business contributed 12% to the revenue in quarter 4. This segment grew by 13% on year-on-year basis and 6% on sequential basis. During financial year 25, animal health nutrition witnessed an increase of 12% and constitute about 12% of the revenue as compared to 11% in financial year 24. Bioprocess. Our bioprocess business contributed 17% to the revenue in quarter 4. This segment grew during the quarter by around 8% on year-on-year basis, while degrew by 13% on sequential basis. Annually, our food business grew by 4% to rupees 809 million, constituting about 13% of the total revenue, while non-food business grew by 12% to rupees 208 million. This constitutes 3% of total revenue. The specialized manufacturing business contributed 9% and grew by 39% on year-on-year basis, while remained unchanged on sequential basis. Reported 30% growth for whole year and constituted about 8% of our total revenue as compared to 7% during financial year 24. We acknowledge that R&D is crucial for sustained long-term growth. We also maintain product portfolio specific strategies that focus on complexities of the geographical market fit. We are proactively seeking new opportunities and advancing the development of new products and molecules within our biocatalyst and bioprocessing portfolios. These innovations are anticipated to contribute to future revenue growth. We are optimistic about the upcoming years, anticipating growth and success with a strong pipeline and product portfolio. We look forward to building on our momentum and driving great year ahead. With this, I conclude my remarks and now hand over the call to Mr. Rauka. He will walk you through the financials and key subsidiary numbers.
Thank you very much, Mukund. Good evening, everyone. I hope you all are in good health. On the company's consolidated financials for the fourth quarter and fiscal year 2025, I would like to give first the Q-on-Q numbers, sequential basis. The revenue is decreased by 19 million by 1% point from 1691 million to rupees 1672 million. The EBITDA margin stood at 27% as compared to 31% in the corresponding previous quarter. Profit before tax at 26% as compared to 31%, and PAT during the quarter was 267 million as compared to 389 million. On year-on-year basis, the revenue is at 1672 million as compared to 1578 million, increase of 6%, and EBITDA is at 456 million as compared to 554 million. Profit after tax at 267 million, this is about 16% as compared to 299 million. On year-on-year basis, this is financial year 25 versus 24, the revenue is increased by 2% point from 6,239 million to 6,369 million. EBITDA is at 1,944 million, about 31% of our revenue, as compared to 2,045 million of FY24. Profit before tax at 1,874 million, 29%, as compared to 1,879 million, which is 30% of revenue in FY24. PAT is at 1,340 million, as compared to 1,370 million, and the PAT in terms of the percentage of revenue is about 21% in FY25, as compared to 22% in FY24. Let me give you our subsidiary numbers. Desi Biotech revenue stood at 600 million during FY25 as compared to 626 in FY24, and EBITDA is at 70 million as compared to 77 million in FY24. PAT is at 12 million as compared to 18 million in FY24. Evo's revenue for financial year 25 is at 213 million as compared to 230 million, and Evox has a negative EBITDA of 12 million as compared to negative 8 million in FY24, and the loss of loss at Evox is about 39 million up as compared to 21 million in FY24. SciTech has done exceedingly well during this year. Revenue is at 542 million as compared to 418 million in FY24, 30% of growth, and EBITDA is at 76 million as compared to 58 million in FY24. PAT stood at 37 million, which is as good as, I mean, last year number of 37 million. Our largest anti-inflammatory enzyme sale stood at 1,193 million as compared to 1,310 million. This is about 29% during the year as compared to 21% last year. Top 10 customer concentration is about 22% as compared to 26% in FY24. B2C segment during the year performed at in terms of INR 375 million as compared to 394 million, and in USD 4.46 million US dollar 4.46 million as compared to 4.77 million in FY24. R&D expenditure during the year, we have spent about 328 million as compared to 274 million, which is about at 9.34% of our revenue as compared to 7.5% in FY24. On consolidated basis, R&D spend is about 5.32% in Q4 and 4.7% in Q4 of FY24. This is without considering the intercompany elimination. And on consolidated basis, R&D spending with elimination is about 4.4% as compared to 3.5% in Q4 of the FY24. On consolidated basis, R&D spend for FY25 is at 5.3% as compared to 4.53% in FY24. This was from my side. Now we shall open the floor for question answer session.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue is. The first question is from the line of Nikhil from Simple. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good evening. Am I audible?
Yes.
Good evening.
Yeah. Sir, first question was on this fall in gross margin. Now, you ascribed two reasons. One was the product mix and inventory valuation. If I look at the revenue mix within segments, it largely remained the same. So, can you just talk about it, what actually led to this fall in gross margin, and this inventory valuation was a one-time activity, or some sense on that?
Yeah, so I mean, you know, you rightly said, as far as you know, the numbers looks like same, but within that there are some products. So depending upon, you know, the volume of sale of that particular product and the margin, that in fact impacts the overall you know, gross contribution. And apart from that, the second question about the like, you know, true up of the inventory, because you know, year end valuation when you do, then sometime there are few things which you know, which acts as a balancing figure, so that has to be taken care, so that also impacts, you know, on overall, like, you know, margins.
I understand, sir, but where I'm coming from is, if I look at our long history, this revaluation would have happened in previous years as well, but the large impact we've never seen in historical quarters. So is it like...
It's not revaluation, I'm sorry, there is no revaluation as such. It is like, you know, year-end exercise which is done every year as such. So sometimes the true up, you know, you have some kind of, you know, miss which has to be corrected.
Okay. So, and is it because of fall in prices of the products, as a result we've seen this, like, this, so what led to this miss? Like, because it never happened historically, so just... That's why I'm trying to understand, like, 5-6% hit which we have seen, we've never seen historically happening. So that's why I'm just trying to understand. And going forward, should we consider that 77-78 as the base margins, or what should be the base gross margins?
I think that's what 76-77% is the kind of, you know, gross contribution which we shall be in a position to maintain as of now.
Okay. And second question to Mukund, sir. Sir, you mentioned that in your opening statement that you seem to be positive for FY26. I know this is a business where it's difficult to exactly project how things will evolve, but if you can just talk about what are the underlying assumptions and what are the underlying demand scenario you are looking at, on which basis you believe that we can FY26 should be better than 25.
So Nikhil, there are like certain global challenges as of now. The picture is little unclear on like US front, particularly with the duties and how the things are moving, but as of what it stands, I think it's more like a positive side. We look good flow starting from this quarter. Some of the movements in the biocatalyst areas are going to start. And overall basis, we see good traction in US as well, in India as well. But it's all like depends on like how this volatile situations, what is happening in US pan out, how the duties may come up into the, even into the pharma products in India, or some other areas, like how the US is going to put the duties on China or some other areas. So those few are still like the hanging factors which we don't know as of now. But when we do this and when we look forward for this year, we see a good growth at somewhere around like mid double digit number. So we see very positive year coming forward.
Okay. And just last question and then I'll come back in the queue. We have our facility in US and we have our facility in India. If this tariff thing does come out, like at whatever percentage, would we not be benefited because having our own facility may see a better volume shifting towards us? Is this a right assumption or would you say that's not how we should think?
No, both. I think like that is what I said, like how the tariff on China and other areas move, right? And yes, like there can be some positive area. At the same time, what the facility what we have in US is more on a blending side or the final product side rather than the fermentation side. So most of the raw material what is needed for US goes from India. So right now there is a 10% duty, which if we just go by the last year, probably we might have an impact of about $400,000. But if we really look into the, if we really look what the other business can come because of whatever is instability is being created, probably that can be neglected and probably like we can see higher growth as well. But it all depends how the things move. But even like we keep all of these factors aside right now and we just see that nothing is moving into those directions, still we feel that we should have a good growth as of now. If those things are like in a positive area, they may add. If those are in a negative, they may reduce the numbers. That's how I look at it at this point of time.
Sure. I'll come back and let you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Umang Shah from Banyan Tree Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Am I audible?
Yes, Amanji.
Yeah, hi. Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity. Sir, first question was pertaining to the biggest product that we sell, which is Serrapeptides. Sir, in Q4, how has the competitive intensity reduced? And how do we think about it in FY26? And second is, if you could repeat, how much did it contribute to the total revenues for FY25? That would be great.
I think like Raukaji will give that number.
19%.
19%.
Yeah.
But we see that there will be some challenge into this area, particular area. We see that it will have the pressures going forward as well. And as a policy, we will like come out with some other products which will give us the growth. We may see that there might be another 2-3% to 5% fall on the revenue on this particular area.
Okay, so it's 2-3% is 19% minus 2-3%.
Yeah, right.
Okay. And sir, one more question was, you had launched products in weight management, sugar management and protein digestion last year. What percentage of revenues do they bring in right now?
MNG, like, I don't know the exact percentage, but still we didn't get those kind of volumes which we were expected. But a lot of growth from the US is coming from other segments and other areas as of now. We are still working on those areas, but the traction what we expected didn't come out last year.
Sure, sir. Sir, and one question was that 2-3 quarters back, Raukaji mentioned that the peak margins that this business can go to is 30-33%. Considering our revenue growth, what you are envisaging at that time and now what we are looking at, do you still think the company can have the margin potential or over next 3-5 years, or do you want to have a rethink on the same?
What I can say is right now, we expect like the same margin of this year for the coming year. When the revenue grows, probably it may grow, but for the calculations purpose, we are going with the same number of this year.
Okay, sure. Thank you, sir. I'll get back in the queue.
Participants who wish to ask questions may press star and one at this time. The next question is from the line of Shubham Sehgal from Skill Ventures. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes, Shubham.
Hello. Yeah.
Yes.
So my first question was on the marketing front. So previously, we have faced some difficulties, like in the past few years, be it the higher costs we have faced in U.S. or Europe, or the mismatched expectations between the third parties. So my question is, what are we doing actively on this front, and have we found any success at all in sorting out our marketing issues?
Sorry, I didn't get your question, Shubhamji. Can you please repeat?
I'll just repeat it. So we have been facing difficulties on our marketing front, be it the higher costs or the mismatched expectations. So my question is, what are we doing actively on this front, and have we found any success at all in sorting our marketing issues?
Okay, I think to our knowledge, as such, I think only the issue we might have mentioned is that we have to expand our marketing efforts, in particularly, overseas market. And that's where, we might have discussed that, for a particular segment or particular category of, products, like when we talk about animal feed business, how do we, really expand our marketing reach to, overseas market where a lot of issues are there for the registration of the products, for having a distributor, and for the food business as well. We might have discussed this thing, but I don't remember that, there is any kind of mismatch and any kind of issues we are facing in that sense. So the only challenges were how to really ramp up getting your product registered with the European food safety authorities, how do you register your products with various countries. And even there are some countries where when you want to import, so the local distributor, they have to register their products. So those were kind of a challenges, which of course in last couple of years we have ramped up, and we have really got some kind of breakthroughs, and we have used a lot of resources to have that kind of a thing in place. But yes, a lot more is to be done, and it will take a couple of years to have that kind of a distribution network.
Okay. My next question was on our solar plant that we have established. So what percentage of our total power consumption will be met through this plant, and what level of cost savings can we realistically expect?
Which plant, sir?
The solar plant we have established.
No, so this 510 kilowatt, what we are talking about?
No. Yes, yes, the solar plant.
The solar plant. No, so this is not a solar plant what we put up. Right now what we put up is like a 510 kilowatt capacity of the panels on the plant itself. That is somewhere around for last year we generated about 3,15,000 units, somewhere around that. But that is almost like 5 to 10% of our total, 10% of our total
consumption
as of now. What we use at Sinner, we are looking for some other options as well on the solar, where there are certain options like making a joint venture company and buying it. But we are exploring all of that, and probably we will look into this year to establish that as well.
Okay, just my last question on our specialized manufacturing segment. So can we expect this segment to grow at a 30% rate sustainably, and what are the factors currently driving this growth?
Yeah, I think if not 30%, at least this business is going to grow more than 20% in the coming year as well. And the factors is the capacities have been created. In FY 2024, Q4 there was challenge. I think we have mentioned earlier there was a fire in that plant, so because of that, you know, the manufacturing has to some extent impacted. So FY25 full-fledged, like, you know, the plants were in operation, and we also added some capacity in FY25. So now we are getting a lot of, like, you know, orders and inquiries, and we are signing a lot of contracts. So that helps us to have, you know, a better visibility of the revenue in FY26. And we, again, you know, we are also working on expanding more capacity of this particular plant going forward.
So are we seeing more demand traction from international markets or domestic markets or both of them?
So it's like both as such, but yes, this year we could see that, you know, a lot of growth has come from the Indian market only.
Okay, got it. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Shreyans Gathani from SG Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening, sir. So my question is on the margin. In the initial comments, you mentioned about the change in product mix impacting margins. So my understanding was that, you know, the U.S. market, typically the products that we are selling there have a higher margin. So if I look at Q4 FY25, there's 22% growth, you know, in the U.S. Business. So just trying to understand, like, how should we look at, you know, margin based on geography, or is it like we should not look at it in that way?
So, I mean, of course, the U.S. has a better margin because, you know, whatever manufacturing, core manufacturing is happening in India, and U.S. is doing some kind of, you know, customized formulation. So they do face a better margin in that sense because their approach is completely, you know, one is solution-based approach, and over a period of time they have created their own branding. So they face, you know, better margin as compared to India business. And apart from that, you know, we have a couple of subsidiaries. Now these subsidiaries are like, you know, again, two, three subsidiaries are like 100% subsidiaries. So they are into a different business. Their margins are different. They have a, like, you know, if I talk about bioprocessing, non-food. So non-food business has kind of, you know, low margins. Food business is slightly better. Animal feed has a different kind of a margin. So U.S. has, of course, a better margin in that sense. So as the U.S. business will grow, definitely we could see a better margin. But then, of course, now going forward, as a lot of challenges are there because of, you know, the tariff issues. So we have to see that, you know, there may be some kind of a competition which comes when you have this kind of a margins in the business. So those factors definitely we'll always take into account. And that's the reason we are saying that, you know, going forward, we shall be taking up only, you know, when you prepare your business model for a couple of years. So 30-31% of EBITDA margin is something, like, you know, is sustainable in that sense.
Got it. So on the U.S. market, so you mentioned that, you know, last year the products that we launched are not seeing a lot of, did not see a lot of traction as you expected. So are there any other products that we're launching, or like, is that picking up now, or how do you see them playing out this year?
So this year probably, like, we'll see it better, like, growth wise or otherwise. It's little bit slower than, like, what our expectations were in the beginning, but at the same time, like, we are working on some other areas, like the, and which was the existing business as well, which has grown much better, and this year also we see that, like, most of the growth in the U.S. has to come from the existing businesses right now.
Okay, so the newer introductions are not going to contribute significantly.
They will contribute, but they will take some more time than what we initially anticipated.
Got it. So could you just like give some idea on, like, why we're like, it's not picking up as fast? Is that like slower customer adoption, or you know, there's competition more than we thought, or could you just give some idea on why?
Anticipation. The earlier, like, expectations were based on, like, the MLM model and the and the company with whom we were working was like, and that those were like all their projections, and based on that, like, we come out with those projections. But then slowly, we slowed down on the MLM side, and then we are like working with some other more people to expand this market. So it's a process, right? So the time consumption is a bit more right now.
Got it. My next question is on the R&D center update. Like, could you just share where we are with that? And like, I think we expect the phase one to be started this year, if that's on track or not.
So we expect to finish the construction work by the December of this year. And some portion will start in the last quarter of this year, particularly.
Okay, got it. And so I also read, like, sorry, you're saying.
No, so the five floor building, the last slab is in process right now, and then all the other civil work has to be done. So, but it's
got
it. Not, sorry.
Okay. So I just saw that there's a company incorporation, for this year in India. Could you just elaborate on what we're planning to do there, or is just just way for some other business? Are we?
So we have like, you know, B2C business, or you can say direct sale business in human nutrition, where we are like selling our nutraceutical products on Amazon.
Yeah.
So for that, we are separating out our, you know, this particular business in a subsidiary company.
Okay. So the welfare business is going to go there.
Yeah, so that more focus can come into that. We feel that now it's time to put some focus on that particular area as well.
Got it. Understood. And just last question on the Evox business. There was like an order a quarter or two ago. Is there any update on that? And is there any other opportunities that we are looking on that front?
Yeah, so that order is already materialized. I guess like already confirmed that, right? Whatever we were talking on that.
Yeah.
We are working on that. In similar areas, we are still talking with a couple of more people. But as of now, it's in the process.
Got it. So that should be executed this year, right?
Yes.
Okay. So we should see like the losses reducing from Evox this year?
Definitely. This year we will see turnaround.
Okay. All right. That's it from my end. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question. Before we take the next question, we would like to remind participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Ambuj Chaudhary and retail investor. Please go ahead.
Hello. Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Am I audible?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, globally, it's a trend that every major chemical players and R&D companies are incorporating artificial intelligence to like speed up and streamline their R&D processes, like time to market, molecule discovery, and all sort of things. So, like, is our company doing, like, implementing artificial intelligence in any way in R&D?
Yes, we are exploring. This year, that is one of the tasks for us to go forward. We will be taking some, we are working on that. Probably this year, we will implement some of them.
Okay. And the next question is, what would be the, like, guidelines for this financial year, like, what would you expect, like, any surprises in any way possible, like from any geographic market or any product?
There can be a lot of surprises. But what we expect is, like, as I already said, like, maybe like a mid-double-digit growth as of now. We might see better as well, depending on how the global things turn out. And also we are looking into the some kind of intermediate kind of a business. And if that works out, really there can be the top line can be much higher.
Okay, okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Umang Shah from Banyan Tree Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you for the opportunity again. Sir, in the calls, you break out the human nutrition revenues between India and international. Could you please do this?
Yes, yes. So, Umang, I am giving you for the FY25.
Yes.
It's 1764 million. 1764
okay.
million.
Yeah.
And international business is 2,289.
Okay. Okay. Sure. Great, sir. And sir, one question was biocatalyst business. We have been in conversation with pharma companies for quite some time. So what are the challenges here for them to adopt this solution that we have?
So, there were like some challenges, like as I already talked on the earlier as well, like for one of the molecules, like the, for example, the lead cost has gone up and all of those sort of things were there, lithium, not lead. But then we come out with some other ways for this year particularly. And this year, like, probably like we should see a good growth in that particular area.
Right, sir. Right, sir. And sir, you mentioned that the India pharma business will continue to be stressed in next year also. So in that context, well, some other segment will have to have higher growth, 10 to 15% growth for us to actually grow at, say, a high single digit in next 1 to 3 years. So which segments are you more optimistic about?
The biocatalyst area right now.
Okay, sir. And sir, animal feed, industrial processing, any
comments? Animal feed
that?
Animal feed will do also very good this year, but the problem is like a low base. So even though whenever we talk it about good, when we talk about overall growth, its contribution is on a lower side. So animal feed should also do good. Food will be I would say normal for this year particularly. This year, like, major growth will start coming from the HN only.
Human nutrition.
Correct.
And biocatalysis.
Sure, sir. And sir, with the largest product that we sell, do we think that this is the new normal in terms of margins and sales growth and the competition is here to stay? Or do we think that we will revert back to our own profitability and sales composition once these temporary issues are done away with?
I think it's a game who can sustain, right? So it will take some more time, maybe 2-3 years, and then we'll see how that pan out. There will be some quarters when we will see the good growth. Some quarter we will be the normal ones, depending on the situation in the market. But
right, sir.
For the calculation purposes, we are going with this as a normal right now.
Right, sir. And sir, what would be the discount that the competitors offer to the product that we sell, if you are able to talk about it?
There will be the erosion on that front, some around 5 to 7%, particularly as of now. That is what we are taking into the consideration for the next year, particularly.
Sure, sir. And the demand growth will not be significant here, so you are actually looking at a volume decline, more or less.
No, we will see the volume may grow, but actual realization may be at the same level.
Okay, okay. Sure, sir. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, we would like to remind participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Shubham Sehgal from Skill Ventures. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes, Shubham ji.
Just to follow up on a previous question. Like about the gross margin itself. In the last 5-10 years, if we see our quarterly gross margin, like never we have witnessed, like such low gross margins of 72%. I mean, I heard that you've said that we did some inventory revaluation, but still, this kind of margins we've not seen yet. Like, could you just elaborate on that? Like, is it possible we like price our products lower to drive growth or something like that? Because like, these low gross margins we haven't seen. Also, from next quarter, what gross margins can we expect?
See, on the raw material front or the other front, we will have a 1 or 2% increase going forward as well. But rest of the things, Rauka ji can talk.
Shubham, I think you're looking at quarter. You should look at the yearly numbers, annual numbers. I have already explained, then some true-up has been done. It's not like, your true-up is having a very substantial impact on this overall basis. Here, the question was like, the product mix, which we have mentioned to you, some of the products which might be fetching a very good margins, if the sale of those products during the quarter is low, it's lower than, previous quarter, then you see the overall gross margin and EBITDA margin that gets impacted. When you look at the yearly annual numbers of FY 2025 and FY 2024, only you see the 77% is the gross contribution for FY 2024, and FY 2025 it is 76%. EBITDA margin was about 32% in FY 2024, and this year we are having about 31%. Only the quarter-to-quarter comparison is something, this is.
On a yearly basis then, what kind of gross margins can we expect going forward?
I think we are, I already mentioned we should main, we are maintaining the kind of EBITDA margin and gross margin in the same level.
On a yearly basis.
Okay. In the range of 76-77% then.
Before we take the next question, we would like to remind participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. Before we take the next question, we would like participants to that you may press star and one to ask a question. As there are no further questions, I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Ronak Saraf for closing comments. Please go ahead.
Thank you everyone for taking your valuable time for attending our earnings conference call. We will keep you posted for any further updates. I request you all to kindly send in your questions that may remain unanswered. An audio recording and the transcript of this call will be uploaded on our website in due course. Looking forward to host you all in the next quarter. Till then, stay healthy, stay safe.
Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of Advanced Enzyme Technologies Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.